from the top of Hamad Aleph, from the third line. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'sanakam of Reb Shimon, Tashlumin le'atzeres menalhu. If you remember, yesterday we were discussing at length the isser of Baal Ta'achir, not to delay a karban once you've pledged to bring it already. So we mentioned at the end of the day yesterday that there is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh where it says b'chaga matzos u'chaga shavuos u'chaga sukos. Now the Gemara wants to know that pasuk was, as we already noted yesterday, according to the Tanakhama and according to Rav Shimon, is the source that you have to wait at least three regalim before you violate the isser. So now the question becomes, well, how do they derive this other halacha that we referenced at the end of the day yesterday, that even shavuos has 7 days of Tashlumin, and if you fail to bring the carbon on Shavuos, you still have a week to make it up. Where do they know that halacha from? So the Gemara says, Nafka lehumi desani rabba bar Shmuel. Desani rabba bar Shmuel, Amra Torah, Manei yamin v'kadesh chodesh, Manei yamin v'kadesh atzeres. Ma chodesh lemenuyav, af atzeres lemenuyav. The Gemara draws a comparison between Rosh Chodesh and Shavuos, namely, just as when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, how do you know which day is considered Rosh Chodesh? How do you know when to offer the Karbanah? So the Gemara doesn't get into all the details here regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. That's going to be a little bit later in the Masechta. But basically, the Gemara just says that you basically count up the days from the last Rosh Chodesh. So in other words, just as when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, in terms of determining when you bring the Karbanos of Rosh Chodesh, you just count up the days of the month. The same basic model applies for Shavuos as well. Namely, you count Sfiras HaOmer, and then once Shavuos hits, you know that that's the time to bring the Karbanos that are associated with Shavuos. So now the Gemara says, "Hang on one second. Ima atzeres chad yoma." So the Gemara says, "But we know that Shavuos is only one day. So why are we all of a sudden assuming that now you have a week's worth of tashlumin? Maybe we should only allow you to have that one day." So the Gemara says, "No. Amar Rava atu atzeres yomei maninan Shavuos lo maninan v'ha'amar mar mitzvah l'mimnei yomei mitzvah l'mimnei Shavuos v'od chag Shavuos k'siv." That model doesn't work, says the Gemara. Why not? Because Shavuos by definition includes weeks as well, for two reasons. First of all, because there's a shita in the Gemara Menachos, which we happen to paskin like, that when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, you also have to count weeks, not just days. There happens to be a day at Menachos that disagrees with that, but we assume that you have to count weeks. And even the name itself, Shavuos, Chag Shavuos, means the holiday of weeks. So almost built into the name, built into the holiday, is this concept of weeks, which therefore means that when it comes to the principle of Tashlumin, you need to have at least a week. It doesn't make any sense to say that you're only going to have Tashlumin for less than a week. The whole Chag is built around the concept of a week. Okay. Then the Gemara goes back and says, "Uthesach bar mikra bar regalimu pesach zimna kviale iikrave viilo akrave idchele." One of the many things that we listed back on yesterday's daf as being something which is potentially subject to Baal Ta'acher is a carbon pesach. Now the problem with that is that a carbon pesach can only be offered on erev pesach, and that's it. So how could there be an isra of Baal Ta'acher if you don't bring it on erev pesach? You can't bring it again. So the Gemara says, "You're right." Amar Ruchista pesach kedei nasr. Ruchista says, "You're right." You know, basically, carbon pesach was just kind of mentioned derech agav. It was just kind of dragged along with everything else on the list, but basically it was lav dafka. However, Rav Sheshes Amar, my Pesach shal me Pesach. However, Rav Sheshes takes a different approach, and he says it's not just a textual answer. He says, no, that when the Gemara earlier said that there's an Isser Baal Ta'acher for the Karban Pesach, it really meant it, but it was referring specifically to the Shalmei Pesach. What's the case here exactly? So these are something that we've discussed already back in Maseches Pesachim, where basically, let's say for some reason you designated an animal as a Karban Pesach, and then you lost the animal, or it got stolen, or something happened to it, and then you had to bring a replacement, and then you found the original one. So once you find the original one, if you already brought the Karban Pesach, so the status of this is what's called a Shalmei Pesach. It basically turns into a Karban Shlamim, essentially. So that, in other words, that Karban, the Shalmei Pesach, is in fact subject to the Isra of Baal Ta'acher. But the obvious question is, Yehachi Hainu Shlamim. Well, why is this different than a regular Karban Shlamim? Meaning the Gemara earlier, when it was listing off all the types of things that are subject to Baal Ta'acher, also listed Karban Shlamim. So why is this any different? So the Gemara says, no. Tana Shlamim Habayin Machmas Pesach V'sana Shlamim Habayin Machmas Atzman. Sal Kedaita Chamina Ho'alu Machmas Pesach Kasu Kefesach Damu Kamash Malan. That one could have argued that since this Karban Shlamim is really a function of a Karban Pesach, perhaps the halachos of Baal Ta'acher should be even more restrictive. In other words, we should argue that once Pesach passes you by, once the one rega passes, that's it, you're done. In other words, you violated the Isser. That's what one could have argued. So Kamash Shalom, that it's not the case, that this is like any other Karban Shlamim. Namely, it's subject to the regular, halachos of Baal Ta'acher, which again, you're going to have to plug in all the five shitos that we saw in the Gemara yesterday, with, whichever day you think in the Gemara is correct. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Benahan and Nile, how do we know this idea, again, that all of the aforementioned things that we mentioned on yesterday's daf are all subject to Baal Ta'akhir. So the Gemara says, the son of Rabbanan, Kisi Dor Neder. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kiseitse, if a person pledges, right, in other words, a person takes it, again, a person pledges to bring some kind of a karban, so the Pasuk says, Lo Sa'akhir L'Shalamo. That's the source of the Isra Baal Ta'akhir. So the Gemara says, Ein Li Ela Neder, Nedava Minayin. The Torah only specifies that the Isra Baal Ta'akhir applies to a carbon neder. How do I know that it even applies to a carbon neder? What's the difference between a carbon neder and a carbon neder? So the Mishnah Megillah already tells us that a carbon neder is when you personally pledge to bring a carbon, whereas an adava is where you say this particular animal should be brought as a carbon. The nafkamina would be if the animal gets lost or stolen, do you have to replace it? So if it's incumbent on me, if it's a neder, then I have to replace it. If it's only an adava, if it was only on the animal, then if the animal got lost, I don't have to replace it. So how do I know that the same Isra Baal Ta'akhir extends to a carbon adava? So the Gemara says, Nemar ka neder v'nemar lahal. Since the Torah basically lumps neder and adava together in other places, so that's how we know the Baal Ta'akhir also applies to a carbon adava. Fine. Then the pasuk continues in Parshas Kiseitse. It says Kisidor neder laHashem Elokecha. When you pledge to give something to Hashem, so Elu Hadamin Ha'arachin VaHacharamin VaHaEkdeshos. Those are the other things that we referenced back on yesterday's daf. Right? All those different types of monetary pledges that you give to the Beis Hamikdash, whether it's your own slave market value or it's the Erichin value or it's Haram. Things that you designate for the upkeep of the mikdash, or just something that you pledge to give to Hekdesh, if one fails to give those things, so again, after a certain time frame, they would violate the Isra Baal Ta'akhir. Lo Sa'akhir L'Shalimo, Hu V'lo Chilufav. So this, the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time analyzing what this line means in a second, but just for right now, the Torah says, don't delay bringing your carbon. So the Gemara says that means that the Isra only applies, a Baal Ta'akhir, to the carbon proper, but not to the replacement carbon. And again, we'll see in a second the Gemara what exactly that means. Then it says, Ki Darosh Yidrashenu, Elu Chatos V'Hashemos Olo Sushlamim. Then the Pasuk continues and says that Hashem demands that you bring the carbon on time. So that's a reference to all these types of carbonas, to Achatas and Asham and Ola and Shlamim. Then the Pasuk continues, Hashem Elokecha. So that's Elu Tzedakos U'Maisros U'Vachor, right? So again, those are other things that we mentioned yesterday, right? Certain pledges of tzedakah, of maaser, of a carbon b'chor are again also subject to Baal Ta'akhir. And then the pasuk continues and says, "Me'imach zeleket shechecha ufeya." Right. So when the pasuk says that Hashem demands from you, so that means that you have to give, right? From, we know from certain gleanings that fall off the tree or parts of the corners of your field or things that you forget in the field have to be left for the aniyim. And then finally, the pasuk says, "V'hayav v'chachid v'lo b'karban chachid." Then the pasuk ends off and says that it will be a sin for you, meaning if you delay bringing the carbon, you're going to violate the Isra Baal Ta'akhir, but the Gemara infers that the lo b'karban chachid, meaning to say there won't be anything wrong with the carbon. The carbon itself is a valid carbon, it's just that you violated the Isra Baal Ta'akhir by not bringing it by a certain time frame. So the Gemara is now going to analyze every single one of these drushas. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, lo sa'akhir l'shalamo hu velo chilufav, chilufei ma. When the Gemara said earlier that the Isra Baal Ta'akhir only applies to the carbon itself, but not to the replacement carbon, what exactly is the case? So the Gemara says, I chilufei olo shlamim mikra. If we're talking about a replacement for an Ola or a Shlamim, let's say again, similar to the cases that we mentioned earlier. Let's say you initially designated an animal as an Ola or Shlamim, and it got lost or stolen or whatever, there was something happened to the animal, and then you designated a new animal. That replacement animal can still be offered as an Ola or Shlamim, so it shouldn't be any different than a regular carbon. On the other hand, if it's a replacement chatas, that's a much more serious problem. That animal has to be left to die. How do we know that? So that's a famous Gemara that we actually spoke about, way back in Maseches Temura. That's what we call the Chamesh Chatos Hamesos. There are five cases, five halacha lemush misinais of a carbon chatas that has to be left to die. And again, one of them is this case of the Temura's chatas or a chilufei chatas, where you replace the carbon chatas. So that can't be the case that we're talking about, because that animal has to be left to die. Ela my chilufav chilufei toda. The son of Rabbi Chia, toda shenis arva bismurasa vamesa achas man chaverta in latakana. Hey chiliavid likriva vilikrav lechem bahada dilma tumurahi likriva below lechem dilma todahi. So basically, the Gemara now suggests, well, perhaps what the pasuk was coming to exclude is the replacement of a carbon toda. What's the case here exactly? So again, I lost my original carbon toda, then I replaced it with another one, and then the Gemara presents the following case. Let's say I had both animals in front of me. I had the regular toda and then I had the replacement one, and they got mixed up. So now I lost track of which was which, but then one of the two animals died. So now the problem is, says the Gemara, there's no way to offer that second animal. Why not? Because the halacha is that a regular carbon toda must be accompanied with certain loaves of bread and matzah. Right? There's a psukim in Parshas Tzav, right? It has to be accompanied with bread and matzah. So that only applies to the regular carbon toda, but the replacement toda does not have that requirement or does not have that halacha of bringing the bread. So the problem becomes becomes, well, you, since you don't know which of these surviving animals was it the original toad or the replacement, so there's basically no way to bring it because you don't know if you're supposed to bring it with the loaves of bread or not. So that, okay, so fine. So then the Gemara says, well, hang on a second. If this animal, if this replacement toda is impossible to offer because you don't know whether you should be bringing it with the loaves or not, so then why do I even need a pasuk to exclude it? In other words, the whole point of this Gemara is that we're trying to figure out what's being excluded by the phrase hu velo chilufa. What was the Torah coming to exclude that we didn't otherwise know? It can't be excluding the case of the replacement toda because everyone realizes that you can't bring that carbon. So what exactly is the pasuk coming to exclude? So Amar Rav Sheshes liolam lema'ute chilufa olo shlamim v'hacha b'may askinan kigon she'avru olav shnei regalim It's a very convoluted case here. Basically, the Gemara says that we're going back to our original rejected answer. Or in other words, our original proposal in the Gemara was that really it's the replacement of the Ola and Shlamim that's being excluded from the Pasuk. And the Gemara says that's really true. Well, what's the case here? So the Gemara is a very convoluted case. Let's say I had an animal that was originally designated as an Ola or a Shlamim, and then two Regalim passed me by, and again, we assume lahalacha that the Shita and the Gemara that it has to be three regalim to violate Baal Ta'achir. So two regalim already passed. Then the animal developed some kind of a mum, and then I redeemed it for a different animal. So one could have argued that that replacement animal should only get one more regal before you violate Baal Ta'achir because it's basically just an extension of the original one. So the chiddush of the pasuk is that one does not violate Baal Ta'achir until three more regalim have passed for the replacement animal. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. So that's what the pasuk is coming to teach me from the drasha of huvilo chilufa. So now the Gemara pushes back. What about according to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was a sheet that we already spoke about yesterday, who holds that one violates Baal Ta'achar even after only one chag, even after only one yantiv passes you by. So how does he justify this drasha? So Amar Rav Hacha b'may askinan kigon shehuman b'soch haregel v'chililo v'over alav haregel sal gadayta chamina holu mikolach kamakas. So Rameir gives basically just a slight adjustment to the previous case, which is that the animal developed a mum on Yontif itself, and then you swapped it out, and then you exchanged it for a new animal on Yontif. So again, one might have thought that you violate Baal Ta'achar once Yontif is over, because it's just an extension of the previous animal. So the Chiddush is note that, in other words, Rameir would tell you that the drush of Huvilo Chilufa tells me that the replacement animal has an additional Yontif, has until the following Yontif, before one violates Baal Ta'achar. Okay. Then we said, V'hayav v'chachit v'lo b'karban chachit, right? We said in the Gemara earlier that one violates Baal Ta'achar by not bringing the carbon by, you know, in other words, within a certain time frame, but the carbon itself is not invalidated. So the Gemara asks, is this really the source that if one doesn't bring the carbon by a certain time, that the carbon itself remains valid? It's just a problem. In other words, it's just a problem with the it's a problem with you, but not with the animal. Is that really true? So the Gemara says, rather that's derived from a different source. Tisanya, achirim omrim, yachol yehe b'chor sha'av rashna so kifsuli hamukdashin v'yipasel, tamud lomar v'yachal tol lefnei Hashem alokecha masar deganecha tiroshecha v'yitzarecha uvchoros b'karecha v'tzonecha, makish b'chor l'maiser, ma maiser eno nifsal mishana lachaverta, af b'chor eno nifsal mishana lachaverta. So the Gemara basically derives from the following hekish. In Parshas Re'eh, right, in other words, the Gemara has a hava amina, that let's say I have an animal which is a bechor. Once the first year of the bechor's life passes, it's no longer valid to be offered as a bechor. So I would have argued, says the Gemara, that once the year passes, we should treat that bechor like psulei hamakdashin, like it's an animal that basically lost its kedusha, it's invalid now, it should be completely pasul. So says the Gemara, it's not true. The pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh that you have to eat in front of Hashem the maaser of your grain, of your wine, and your oil, as well as the bechor of your sheep and your goats and your flock. So the pasuk is basically comparing the halachos of Bechor to Meiser. Just as Meiser doesn't become invalidated from one year to another, we know that there are certain halachos, which type of Meiser you have to bring, depending on what year of the Shemitah cycle it is, right? It's Meiser Ani, Meiser Sheni, again, depending on whether it's the third or the sixth year, or the first, second, fourth, or fifth year, right? Again, there are different halachos in that realm, and yet, if you don't bring the proper Meiser in the proper year, it doesn't invalidate the Meiser. You just lost out on the mitzvah. So the same is true for the Bechor. In other words, basically, this teaches us that the Bechor itself is not invalidated, you just failed to do the mitzvah properly. So again, the question is, why do I need the pasuk of the hayav v'chachet, the lo b'karban chachet, as the source that the carbon remains valid? We already know that the carbon remains valid from this comparison between Meiser and Bechor. So says the Gemara, you're right, itchtrich. Sal k'dayta chamina ha'nemili Bechor delav bar hartzahu, aval kachim divnei hartzah nenu ema lo lirtzu, kam ashmalan. The Gemara suggests that one could have argued that a bechor is different than a regular carbon. Why? Because a bechor is not really about kapara, right? Most karbanos that we offer have some kapara aspect to them. Whereas a bechor is really just what you have to give to the kohen. There's no kapara associated with a bechor. So one could have argued that perhaps the standards should be different between a regular carbon and a bechor. So comes the pasuk and teaches me otherwise and says, no, it's not true that the same standards apply across the board for a bechor as well as for regular karbanos. Then the Gemara pushes back. The akati mid the ben azay nafka, the sanya ben azay omer oso matamud lomer. So this is a drush of the Gemara in Zvachim quotes from ben azay. The pasuk in Parshas Tzav when it talks about the iser of pigul, it says hamakriv oso lo yechashev lo pigul yihyeh. That one who offers a carbon, again, if the kohen has an improper machshava, he thinks he wants to offer the carbon beyond the proper time or outside the proper place, whatever the case may be. So that becomes pigul. So the word oso in the pasuk in Parshas Tzav seems superfluous. So what are we deriving from the word oso? Lefisha ne'emar lo sacher l'shalom. The pasuk in Parshas Kiseta that we referenced earlier by Baal Ta'acher says, don't delay bringing the carbon. So I would have said that if a person delays their neder, delays their pledge, not only do you violate Baal Ta'acher, but you also violate this other iser in Parshas Tzav of Lo Yeratzeh or Baal Yeratzeh, which basically is associated with the iser of Pigol. In other words, that you're doing something which is not appeasing, which is not pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Talmud Lomar, oso below Yeratzeh, ve'ein ma'acher. So comes the pasuk in Parshas Tzav and teach me that it's not true that one only violates the Isser of Baal Yeratzeh in this particular case, dafka in a case of pigul. That's the context of the pasuk in Parshas Tzav, if you have an improper machshava when offering the karban. However, a person who delays their neder, they don't violate this other Isser of Baal Yeratzeh, they only violate the Isser of Baal Ta'acher. So again, this is still, in other words, we're still kind of at an impasse here, because it seems from the Gemara that we already have a source, that the karban itself is not invalid. So now the question becomes, what exactly do we derive from the phrase v'hayah v'chachit? So the Gemara says, you're right, ela v'chachit v'lo v'ishtachachit. Comes the Gemara with a completely different drasha. That phrase on the pasuk in Kiseitze, v'hayah v'chachit, that one who delays their karban, it's going to be a sin only in them, is to the exclusion of a sin in one's wife. What does that mean? Salkadet techamina, hova v'amar Rabbi Yochanan v'yitema Rabbi Elazar, ein ishto shal adam mesa, ela imken mevakshin mimenu mamon ve'ein lo, shene emarim ein lecha l'shalem lama yikach mishkav. One could argue very, very, very strange Hava Amina. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sanhedrin, Masechah Zvachim, that if, let's say, a person comes to you and asks for money, and you're able to help them, but you fail to do so, so the Gemara says that the punishment for that is that one's wife will die. How does the Gemara know that? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishle that says, "Im ein lecha l'shalein, if you don't pay, lama yikach mishkav chamitachtecha? Why should your bed be taken from underneath you?" Which metaphorically, the Gemara is assuming refers to one's wife. If one fails to help out someone else when they have the ability to do so, the punishment is that one's wife will die. So what was the Hav Amina here? The Hav Amina was that that same punishment should apply for one who fails to bring their karban in the proper time. That just as a person who fails to give tzedakah when he has the ability to do so, the punishment is that his wife will die. So the Hav Amina was the same should be true for Baal Ta'acher. One who fails to bring their neder in the proper time, I would have said the punishment is that the wife should die. Kamash Malan, it's not true. Kamash Malan, that the chait is only in you. The chait does not extend to one's wife. That's the maskan of the Gemara.